Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. April is Earth Month, and if there's one thing I've learned, it's that quality is sustainability. Think about it. When you invest in well-made, durable products, you're not just buying something that lasts longer, but you're reducing the need for constant replacements. That's why I am happy to tell you about the Avocado Green Mattress. When it comes to mattresses, Avocado is the MVP. Top rated by Consumer Reports, 8 years running. They use certified organic materials like latex, wool, and cotton. No nasty chemicals, just pure comfort that keeps you at the perfect temperature all night long. Here's the game-changing play. Right now, you can save up to 10% on these incredible mattresses at avocadomattress.com. Plus, they give you up to a full year to try it out, and they even have easy financing options with Affirm. That's how confident they are you will love it. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better. This is the Zabe Cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Monday, March 31st, 2025. Thank you for downloading. I am still in Vegas for a few more hours, about to head to the wonderful Harry Reid International Airport and head on out of here. Yes, with some money in my pocket and memories of a great four-day Vegas getaway. How do you count this? I got here Wednesday. Wednesday at 2. So from Wednesday at 2 o'clock, left Sunday at Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 4 days. I think 4 days is the outer edges of just as long as you want to be in this town. Some say it's too much. Others say, well, I wouldn't mind another day or two. It all depends on what you do. We had a great time here. Gambled. Guys played golf. The weather was nice-ish. More on that in just a second. We saw some thrills, some spills, some chills. No one was worse for the wear. No one got into trouble. It was all good. A Zabe Vegas is reborn. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if this thing can be stood up again. I've got ideas about a potential future basketball-related promotion regarding coming out here for the tournament. I hope you like chalk, because we are serving chalk when it comes to the tournament. A one and a two and a one and a two and a one and a two and a one and a three. And that's pretty much the way it goes. In fact, there is a stat that's even worse than the fact that we've had straight chalk in the tournament. And it's in going back to the conference championship round as well. You ready for this? Okay. So if you go to the conference championship round, and look at, okay, how did those things go, especially in the Power Five conferences? Are you ready? Not only is it one versus two, one versus two, one versus two, one versus three in the Elite Eight, and now it's down to just two more one versus twos on a Sunday, Houston, Tennessee, and then Auburn, and Michigan State. The Power Five conference tournament brackets were, ready, ACC, 1, 2, 3, 5. Seeds in the SEC, 1, 2, 3, 4. In the Big Ten, 1, 2, 3, 4. The Big 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. And the Big East, 1, 2, 3, 5. There have been like legitimately just about four upsets across 1,000 games this March, according to this guy on Twitter who posted this stat. That's pretty incredible right there. It is what it is. It ain't what it's not. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to change it? Currently, there are 1,200 and what's the number? Players in the portal right now. 1,359 D1 men's basketball players in the portal, according to Jeff Goodman. That's a lot of guys with a lot of very shady agents looking for money, and many of them will get money and a lot of money. A lot of them will not. So good luck to them. All right, how did I do betting these games, and how was our weekend here? Let's start with simply a testament to dudes. Shout out to my crew for this year's trip, starting with Ryan McElwee, or White Rhino as I call him. Ryan and his boys, Tommy Hruz, Jay Loffenberg, and Eric Anderson, just a great set of buddies from high school back in the day out in the Wanakee area just outside of Madison, Wisconsin. Been going to Vegas consistently as a group of four guys for March Madness for quite a while. And if it were not for Rhino pestering me, going, hey, are you going to Vegas this year? Are you doing your Zabe Vegas promotion? What's up with that? If he didn't pester me, I would not have come. If he didn't have the M Life status with MGM Grand to get me the rate that he got on my room here at Vidara, I would not have come. It was still a pretty expensive trip, I'm not going to lie. It got more expensive because of a calamity I'm going to tell you about in just a second. But so those guys were half of my two tee times I had set up at Bally High, which really was the start of it. I said, I want to play golf. It's coming out of the winter. I've got good memories of playing Bally High back in the day. So I booked two tee times for 2 days at Bally High. And I sat on them, and I tried to recruit guys from my circles to come, and I couldn't do it. And then, you know, Rhino stepped up and said, I got four guys. And I go, okay, good. I only need three more. I only need four more. I only need three, me and three other guys. So I then got two of my boys, Kevin Workus, the Desert Fox, as well as Jimmy Bonahum, the Purdue Boilermaker, Boiler Up. He was devastated when Purdue sniped him at the buzzer. But, or not quite at the buzzer, but still. And then Peter LaCourse was our last guy in who responded to my call on my podcast saying, hey, anyone want to come join us? Peter is a third grade teacher in Menasha, Wisconsin, longtime basketball coach, a Michael Jordan fanatic. He has a golf bag that has every bit of Jordan related paraphernalia you could want. It's a Jordan bag with Jordan head covers, a Jordan towel. His putter cover is a miniature Jordan sneaker, which is very funny. But Peter was great to have along. And just all the guys got along great. It's a testament to dudes. I'm telling you, most guys get along great in a pack. It's not complicated, especially when there's a common thread like gambling or basketball, or sports, or golf. So, in that regard, I really feel lucky that we had such a great group. Now, let's talk about one of my all-time stupid calamities of just sloppiness, inattentiveness that cost me, and I deserve every bit of it. So, I'm going, you know, it's Thursday morning. I'm here. I got here early. The guys are flying in Thursday. And I'm going to the sports book to get my bets down. Now, my first day bets were not good. I did go through them here with you on the podcast. I had some chucklehead email me, go, oh, your pick sucked. Look at these. And he sends me the screenshot. Hey, the joke's on you. If you bet my picks, when I tell you I don't watch nearly as much college basketball, if any, that I used to, then that's you. Don't be sending me my shitty picks. I didn't say on the last podcast, take these to the bank. I guarantee these are all winners. I just said, here are my picks for the record. So my picks stunk. I was 1-3. The only one I got right was the, Maryland seems like the ultimate contrarian play, like the ultimate Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. And then I go, wait a minute, though. You're going to sit there betting on Maryland and they're going to get crushed. So yes, Florida was my only winner on paper. And I say on paper because of this. Walk over to the Aria Sportsbook to go put my bets down. Let's say it's about $100 on each of the teams. And as I'm going over there, I text the fellas who have Wi-Fi on their flights. Hey, fellas, who wants some money on some games? And they said, well, do you have a little bit of liquidity with your cash? Can you put this amount down? And I go, yeah, sure. I got the liquidity. I got the money. Trip is early. Let's go. So they fire in a selection of bets here and there. And I get all the tickets. And I take a picture of the tickets. I meticulously, with my hotel pen from the Vidara, write down the names of each guy on the ticket. And let's just say these tickets are totaling in the hundreds of dollars, plural. Maybe even rhyming with the low thousands of dollars. Not plural, but let's just say it's approaching four figures. I stick the tickets in my pocket of my loose, baggy gym shorts that were quite comfortable to be walking around in that morning. And my last fleeting thought was, you know, you ought to put these tickets safely in your wallet. Well, sure enough, I get back to the Vidara. The reservation was a little bit janky in that White Rhino wasn't landing until later that day, and he put me on the day before, and then my room key suddenly didn't work because it was a combination reservation, and I go to this woman at the front desk who should not be in customer service because she was just a wall of no. Her answer was, well, the only way we can let you in the room is with security. You can get your golf clubs, because I said, I got to make a tee time. You can get your golf clubs, you can't get anything else, and you can't check in again until your friend who's on the reservation lands and checks in at 4 o'clock. I said, are you fucking kidding me? So I'm frazzled at this point, and I'm arguing with the manager, and we finally get it resolved, and he says, okay, fine. Head on up there. Your key works now. You're good to go. But I'm pissed off. I'm turned inside out. Get up to the room, peel off the shorts, getting in my golf clothes. I'm getting ready to leave. Oh, that's right, the tickets. I really got to put those in my wallet so they're in safekeeping. And so I go and I look down to the floor and I say, oh, there they are. They're in my pocket of my gym shorts. And I see two tickets sticking out. And I go and I grab them. And I'm like, okay, good. Wait a minute. There's only two tickets here. There were only two tickets out of eight tickets that I had purchased. And a wave of terror, embarrassment, anger, and shame washed over me as I started to tear the room inside and out. And I tore it again inside and out. And I went to the front desk and I said, did anyone pick up any tickets that might have fallen on the ground? No, I'm so sorry, sir. And of course, there's no way to claim, like, okay, you can't go back to the sports book. Oh, I lost my tickets. Someone either lifted them, pickpocketed me in my sloppy-ass athletic shorts, which don't have good pockets, or they just fell out in a frazzle as I was trying to get back into the room, but they were gone. Oh, my God. So even my shitty 1-3 picks against the spread, well, those were 0-4 because I lost the tickets. Now, you might say, well, did your buddies who you bought the tickets for, did they give you any grace? Like, you know, hey, well, I'll count it as a no bet. They never offered, and I would not have accepted, because a man's word is a man's word, and I needed to learn this lesson. Be more careful, you idiot. So, once again, public service announcement, guard your tickets. Be careful with your tickets. Don't lay your tickets out on a counter at the Aria Sportsbook to take a picture then to post for social media or to send to the fellas to go, hey, here's our tickets, because you might have left them right there inadvertently in a bit of disorganized confusion. I didn't do much better the rest of the weekend. The following night, I got on the right side of one of the most undeserved covers of the tournament so far, which was Texas Tech with the meaningless three that was such an ugly three at that, not even a pure three. Here is what it sounded like on the CBS call with the great Ian Eagle and Bill Raftery.
Another one for Holloman.
It's never pretty, but it's effective.
They just find a way.
Morrell gets it in. Morrell will fire at the horn. It goes down, but that's it. Spartan Strong into the...
Oh, man. It was, as my buddy Ronnie calls it, a queef three because it hit the wedge between the iron and the backboard and just hit dead from nearly 30 feet and fell in. I jumped up and ran around. We were at a place called Brew Dogs, which is, I'm not sure what casino it's in. It's a really nice multi-level, part rooftop bar place to watch the games. The only problem is they didn't have audio for the games. They had a DJ. And this is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we're like begging them, can you please put the audio on? So the food was good. The TVs were good. It was mostly empty. We had no problem getting a seat there, but there was no audio. But when that thing went in, I'm like, oh my God, to think that Ole Miss plus 3.5 was going to cover by a hook on that three alone. Of course, later that night, I had Auburn minus a big number. What was it? -7. And they were down 8 or 9 at one point to Michigan, and then Michigan completely collapsed. Auburn -8.5. And then Michigan does a full-on second-half collapse like you wouldn't believe, and that game covers. So I'm rolling at that point, and I'm 3-0 on day two, and then the Houston-Purdue game happened. Let's talk about that for a second. So Purdue has a right to be pissed off because there were multiple out-of-bounds incorrect calls that went against them, two of them in particular, that replay couldn't fix because they were outside of 2 minutes. That then spawned me to tweet, how about your false god again replay? And my boy, Tim Murray, out here for VSiN, just, he gets so mad when I say that. He's like, it's not replay's fault. It's the rule and the way the rule is written. And I'm like, well, then get more replay. There can never be enough replay. That's the ultimate fallacy of the false god. If you wanted to replay everything and review everything and every single touch, every single out of bounds, because a basket in the first minute counts for 2 points just like a basket in the last minute, and they all count, so they're all important, how much do you want to review? You can't review everything. And so if you only review some things, you're going to get selective false justice, as it were. So there was that. And then there was the fact that Uzan almost certainly pushed off in what is called an offensive foul with the extended arm. Defender had clearly beaten him to the spot with his feet, and there was no call there. And then a very well-designed inbound play that left the inbounder open because Braden Smith went to the corner to go chase a guy who was going to be wide open for a jumper on the baseline to win the game off of two screens, and next thing you know, the game is basically over. I was so happy for my boy Boomer, being a Purdue fan for life, and then he was crushed a minute later. I got a video of us when we were over at the Park MGM Sportsbook, which is also a good place to watch, oh, by the way, if you want to go somewhere to watch. They did have audio for the games, and we did have a problem getting a table for 8 with no reservation, no cover charge, no minimums. But I then almost filmed him as he sat there, stunned, with the 1,000-yard stare. I'm like, oh, this would be a great asset. I could pair it up with the previous one. of him and I jumping up and down, high five and way to go, even though I had Houston minus 8.5. That bet had already lost, so who cares? And I didn't do it. I didn't have the heart to do it for my friend. I'm like, oh my God. I'm just like kind of looking over at him, and he's got the glossy eyes, and he's not moving, and he's just stunned. Oh my God. And that's why we're sports fans, right? That's why we do it. The three P's of Vegas. My last thought about this. First of all, okay, one other thought before my three P's theory, and then we're done with Vegas and moving on to some other things. I was wrong from my last podcast about $15 blackjack. It is alive, and it is thriving in some parts. I just didn't get there that first night. I didn't find it the first night. I wasn't in the right casinos. Park MGM, which is a non-smoking hotel, although they've got Pepsi product, that's the only... had to sit there and drink Pepsi Swill, Diet Pepsi, and Starry, ugh, for the games when we were there watching. But it's a non-smoking hotel slash casino. It's a nice size, so it's not too big where you get lost. And they had many $15 blackjack tables at prime times of the afternoon on Friday and Saturday, including into the evening. And I actually won. Got unbelievable. Actually won at $15 blackjack. I made $120 playing $15 blackjack at halftime of one of the games. So there is that. And there is a lot of food to be had. I complained about the lack of grub late at night. Again, I was just in the wrong part of the strip. What's a new concept with a lot of these hotels is they've got little food courts, which seem to be a surrender to laziness by the resorts, but they're actually really nice little quick serve type places to get better than just cheap grub, but you don't have to pay for service and sit and wait and get a table and tip the waitress. I had an outrageous fried mahi sandwich at this place called Posh Burger at Aria. Sure, it was $23, but it was a big-ass piece of really good mahi, and I just sat there and waited for about 10 minutes, and it was cooked right up, and yum, yum, yum. There's a lot of places that I then discovered over on this cluster of hotels. That would be Aria, Cosmo, Park MGM, all the way down to Bellagio, that have a lot of places to eat. So ignore what I said last podcast. There is $15 blackjack, and there is places to eat. There's also a fear out here that a major recession, a Vegas recession, is coming, if not a nationwide recession, because international tourism, they've been clipped by Canadian tourism because of the tariffs being imposed by the Trump administration, and the airport served 7.5% fewer passengers year to year from February of 2024 to February of 2025, down 7.5%. The year-to-date passenger volume is down 3.5%, so indicators out here are not good. And, you know, Vegas's hot streak is probably about to come to an end, at least for a little spell here. Okay, so three P's of Vegas. It's all about these three things: your people, your plan, and your place. You have to have your people, meaning the people you want to spend time with. You have to, if you're out here alone, you can have fun alone in Vegas, I suppose, or with, you know, a random group of people, but you got to have your people. I had fun with my people, even though some of them I was just meeting for the first time. The key is the people. Get your people, whoever they are, and get a plan, because the notion of, well, we'll just roll around and see what happens, you end up doing a lot of walking, a lot of indecision. Oh, I don't know, should we go here? Make it a simple plan. Say we're going to go here, here, and here. Three things. Say we're going to do three things tonight, whatever that is. And then you need to have your place where you know the layout and you know what it is that you're looking to do. You got a good lay of the land, because honestly, they have built out Vegas so incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's so vast inside these properties with all these little nooks and crannies and things and hallways. It's not like the old Vegas walk up and down the strip and you go in the hotel and it's all basically the same. No. So you got to know your place. And I think that's key. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. New bet. Who dis? Oh boy, does Major League Baseball have a potential massive problem on their hands with the Yankees' new bats. In case you missed it, they hit a ton of home runs and 20 runs. 20 runs on the Brewers with new bats. Take a listen. This is a very good explanation from KFC on Barstool about the bat situation, which apparently in year 149 of baseball, somebody decided to change how bats are made or shaped, and it could be a devastating weapon. We don't know. We'll see. Here's KFC talking about it.
In what feels like a pretty unprecedented move, at least something that I've never seen in my 40 years of watching baseball, the New York Yankees changed the shape of the baseball bat. You can see it's like much fatter there in the sweet spot. They basically loaded up the wood on the barrel of the bat and then went out there and hit 9 home runs and hung 20 on the Brewers.
You see the shape of Chisholm's bat?
I do. It's got a big barrel on it.
Well, it's actually a little bit lower than the barrel. The Yankee front office, the analytics department, did a study on Anthony Volpe, and every single ball, it seemed like he hit on the label. He didn't hit any on the barrel. So they had bats made up where they moved a lot of the wood into the label, so the harder part of the bat is going to actually strike the ball.
Now, this inherently feels like some form of cheating for two reasons. A, the Yankees are a fucking scumbag organization who are not above breaking the rules. They used to trot steroid users out there every single day. Alex Rodriguez, Gary Sheffield, Roger Clemens, Robinson Cano, the list goes on and on. And B, it feels like if you were allowed to do this, other teams would be doing it. Send your guys out there with this fucking torpedo bat and let them bash dingers. But if you do check the rule book, it states that the bat should be smooth and round with no more than 2.61 inches at the diameter of the thickest part of the bat. Now, before I read the actual rule book, I went to ChatGPT and I said, what's the rules about the shape of the bat? And you can see here, number 5, it says that it must be uniformly tapered. So I said, what does uniformly tapered mean? And it's exactly what you think it is. It has to continually get skinnier. So I clarified and said, does that mean it can't get wider and then skinnier again? And it said, yes. So I said, where does it say that in the rule book? And it said, it's not specified, but that it is implied by the word smooth. And I said, well, smooth is referring to the surface. And when you look at the actual rule book, all it states is that it cannot be wider than 2.61 inches. So in that regard, by the rule book, fair play, go ahead. The problem is the Yankees went a little too Bill Belichick on this one because they made such a big deal of it and trotted out every single person with a new bat and put up 20 runs. You can guarantee that Major League Baseball is going to now look into this. They were just a little more subtle with it. A couple bats here and there. Didn't make a big stink about it. Didn't have their own fucking broadcaster call them out. They probably could have got away with this for Lord knows how long. And maybe they will continue to do so. Lord knows that Major League Baseball wants more home runs and more offense. Shit, I say let them do steroids. But we know that's never going to happen, so maybe just let them go out there with their torpedo butt plug bats and let them fucking rake all day. But it'll be interesting to see. Is this something that Major League Baseball addresses, or is this a pivotal moment in the sport where for the first time in like 2 billion years, we changed the shape of the bat and forever changed the game?
Yeah, This is a very fascinating.
It feels like a pretty
very fascinating and a potentially very dicey situation for Rob Manfred. I don't understand how this was not talked about as a story leading up to the season. I don't understand how there is not more specific rules about how the bats can or cannot be made. I wonder if this is truly a superior weapon that produces superior results and increases velocity, launch angle, distance, and all that, like it's a brand new driver in golf, then every team's going to go to it, I assume, unless the Yankees have some kind of patent on this shape of bat. Wouldn't that be something if they go, oh, no, we own the copyright or we own the patent on this bat. You can't change it. Now, it's also quite possible that the new bat is okay for some hitters, worse for others. It's quite possible that part of the reason they had such a big day was Nestor Cortez sucks. And he gave up home runs on the first three pitches of the game. Wait a minute, Zabe. I thought you said the first three pitches. You meant the first three batters he gave up on. No. The first three pitches.
Two tricks for the Yankees. Goldschmidt swings at the first pitch and lofts it to left center field and deep. Mitchell back, track, wall, see ya! Yankee first baseman in 67 games. Bellinger lost one deep to right center. There it goes into the bleachers. See ya! That one's driven deep to left field. There it goes! See ya! Back to back to back. 3-0 Yankees.
Wow. Cortez was not available for comment afterwards. He had left the clubhouse well before the game was even over. And I guess you can't blame him. No pitcher in baseball history had ever given up five home runs and walked five batters in a game without facing at least 35 hitters. Cortez did that, five home runs surrendered, the first three on the first three pitches, and he did all that while facing only 17 batters. That is as bad of a start to a baseball season as you're ever going to get. To be continued, I don't know if baseball can't shut the bat down now. It's too late. They can have a meeting about it. They can say, we're going to look into it. They can say, we're going to review it. But what are they going to do? Bat's been used in a game. Home runs have been hit. Games have been won. Can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. Mark Cuban is now starting to speak out in Dallas about why he sold the team and how he ran the team. It's a former employee, Gavin Malloy, who tweeted, hey, Mark, he said, Mark Cuban should be run out of town. Cuban should be run out of Dallas. Cuban was not going to take that because Malloy used to work for him. And so he tweeted, hey, Gavin Malloy, how much of a bonus did you get when I sold? And he replied, not enough to make up for the Luka trade. I'd give your dirty money back for Luka to be here. How about you? Cuban then replied, you didn't say a word when it showed up in your account, did you? Sure looked good when we made it to the finals, didn't it? I did every damn thing I could for 23 years, kept prices lower than not only any NBA team, but lower than college teams as well. I had $2 tickets for multiple years. When I sold, there were always 4,000 tickets under $29 a piece. I made money 2 out of 23 years. I was the majority owner. Lost hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, the whole thing, accounting. Did he lose money 21 of 23 years? Define losing money. When I lost those fucking tickets, I lost money, and I was sure as hell going to pay out the winners for the tickets that were gone for my boys who were not yet landed on their flights because I wanted to keep my karma shiny. In fact, I think that was part of why I got the exhilaration of the Ole Miss dirty, dirty backdoor cover on the Queef 3, as well as Auburn coming storming back to cover the next day against Michigan, but I digress. He says, and you kept on collecting your salary, so my dirty dollars didn't get a peep out of you those 23 years, or when you got your check every 2 weeks, or when you got your bonus. Go back to what I said when I sold the team. I said I didn't want my kids and family to have to deal with people like you. I honestly got tired of the growing number of fans who became pricks on social media, people exactly like you. I paid your salary. I paid you a bonus. I didn't have to give you. Then Nico and the new owners do something none of us liked, and you decide to fuck with me? Thank you for confirming I made the right decision. Wow. Good for Cuban. Cuban is really not, I don't want to say he's not smart. He's billionaire. I think he's a billionaire. He's plenty smart, but he's also dumb about a lot of things. I remember when the pandemic was in full force, and he said, why don't we just hire a bunch of people to be contact tracers? That would help out, you know, give people jobs. Shut up, alarm. I'm awake. And I was just reading this tweet saying, you're not serious about this, are you? Yes, we could hire a bunch of contact. That's how we're going to beat the pandemic and the coronavirus. We're going to employ people to be contact tracers. Say, where did you go? Oh, really? Oh, you went there. Okay, yeah, great. Stupid fucking idea. But I do believe Cuban ran the Mavericks very well. I do believe him when he says I kept prices very low. I do believe that it had to be tiring to see guys on social media constantly attack you. I understand how it can be insulting when a guy takes your money, is employed by you, gets a bonus, cashes the bonus, then turns around and starts shit-talking you on social media. But there's two things to remember. One, you're the owner. You're the rich guy, the really rich guy. That's the job you have. That's the position you're in. What did you think was going to happen? And then the other part is, hey, log off of social media. Tune it out. Realize some people can never be satisfied. There is growing momentum that the tush push ban in the NFL may end up passing. Diana Rossini, writing for The Athletic, says, nothing is set in stone yet, but the sense I get from around the league is that momentum is growing around banning the tush push. One of my boys on the text thread, Hatch, says, man, what's with you Packer fans wanting to ban the tush push? I'm saying, well, it's not the fans, it's the team. He's like, he's talking shit, saying, just learn how to stop it. Stop being babies. My response was, A, it's a disaster of a play because now the referees cannot adjudicate the tush push adequately. There's guys who are lined up off sides to begin with, who are jumping early. You watch some of the overhead shots of the tush push now, teams trying to stop it. We had the whole spectacle with the Commanders constantly jumping, Frankie Louvu trying to jump over the pile repeatedly at the goal line, half the distance, half the distance, half the distance. It's also, in my opinion, not a football play, it's a rugby play, that my rule on the tush push would be simple, which is the player who gets the snap cannot be pushed. Can you turn around, whoever gets the snap, hand it to somebody else, and then push them in? Yeah. That would be fine, but the guy who gets the snap cannot be pushed. That would be my tweak to the tush push rule. But my larger point to Hatch was, yeah, I hope it gets banned. Why wouldn't you propose that it gets banned? Who cares if you get called names like, you just can't stop it, so you're being babies and, you know, man up. And it's a great weapon for one of your rival teams in your conference. Why wouldn't you want to take that away by legislation? Of course, anyway, if you're trying to win, this is a competitive league. Get that shit banned. And then people can go to their chat rooms online and bitch about how soft the Packers may be. Colorado has signed Deion Sanders to a new contract, 5 years for $54 million. His salary goes to $10 million, making him the highest-paid football coach in the Big 12 and one of the 10 highest-paid coaches in the country. I say this because I was wrong, and I don't believe in staying stuck on wrong. I believe in making note of when I miss the boat on seeing what's going to happen, which many people in our business don't do. And they're usually the more successful ones. They have the better jobs because they just kind of ignore when they're wrong and they keep plowing ahead. I can't do that. Andy and I would say, you know, on this podcast, Deion's going to be gone after a year. This is a disaster. I can't believe it. Well, they bounced back in year two. They were better, for sure. Brought in a bunch of people via the portal. This is the new way of the world. Deion gives them a lot of exposure, notoriety, cachet. His son's going to be in the pros. Who knows where? We'll see what happens going forward, but Deion Sanders is going to stay at Colorado at least for a while. I say for a while because you never know. Everything is year to year. If he has a really good season, someone might say, we'll buy you out of that contract and give you even more money to come over here. Then there was this. Obviously you saw the videos from the earthquakes over in Bangkok and Thailand and Myanmar with the rooftop pools at the luxury hotels splishing and splashing and spilling out onto the street. Oh my God, the security camera footage of some of this is unreal as people are just up there living their luxury lifestyle. And the pool starts to slowly go back and forth. And they're like, what's going on here? I don't know how many stories those buildings are. They must be at least 70 stories tall. And then the water just starts splashing over the side. You see the pool floaties go over the side. One of them, gone. Another one, gone. Then there was a crane that was working on one of the buildings. Massive. Huge crane, and at first people were unsure, was there an operator in the crane at the time? I don't know. And then they zoomed in on the footage, and you could see the crane as it snaps in half and crashes against the side of the building, a human being, a poor soul who was up there working the crane, being ejected from the crane, and then plunging to his death. Horrible stuff. And then there was a video I saw of the water as it fell to the ground, a ground level shot of a huge amount of water from a pool on a rooftop that just crushed a bunch of people running in the street. Don't know if it killed them or just washed them like ants into an alley, but wow, unbelievable. How is Ballyhi? Last thought on Vegas. The golf course it still holds a place in my heart that I like. It's a fun golf course. It is right there on the strip, which is great. I'm not bothered by the airplanes constantly taking off overhead because I'm an airplane nerd and I like watching them take off. It is what it is. It's too expensive now for me to justify given the conditions. They don't water the course as much. I clearly think they're cutting back on their water budget. Water is very expensive out here in Vegas, as you could imagine. They probably don't use quite as much chemicals or overseeding for the winter, so it wasn't as green. The actual greens were good. They were excellent. My putting sucks, but the greens were good. I don't know if... I just don't know. I think if I'm going to do Zabe Vegas again, the golf is going to be out. We're just going to worry about coming out here to watch the games. No, I did not win the Hope for Lamar. Hope for Lamar goes to my boy Workus, who shot a crisp 78 on 3 hours of sleep. After an evening out on Friday night. Nice golfing, my friend. All right, that's enough for me. I got to pack up my luggage and get ready to head to the airport and call it a successful Vegas weekend. Can't report on the games that are going on this afternoon. I'll be on the plane. We'll deal with those tomorrow. We'll get Andrew Poland back in the mix. I do owe my subscribers a podcast. I apologize. I did 4 public podcast last week. I'm going to do a private subscriber podcast to be named in the near future. There's hopefully somebody nice and good that gives you your value because I do not want you to go, hey man, what am I paying $5 a month for? I get it. And you're also getting ad free, which it's not a bad way to go. But anyway, that's it for me. Thanks for listening and everybody. Be careful out there betting on college basketball because you just never know about those bad beats. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time. I'm not happy when I try to fake it. No. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. Like Sunday morning, yeah. That's why I'm easy.
I want to be high.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.